Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Let's all stand, please. I've got nothing to say.
I'm proud to be a graduate of Weight Watchers University today. Actually, I got kicked out. Those people tried to starve me to death. I thought we were watching weight, and they wanted me to actually lose weight, and so. But I did get a GED. Giant eating disorder.
I don't know. I guess we're going to stand, let's say. Let's everybody stand. Let's sing when we all get to heaven. Page 393. Let's sing it out now. Sing. All right, sing it out. On the first.
In the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy.
Aren't you glad for that day? Say amen. Amen, amen.
Boy, you got some good hair gel when you can put on a ball cap and pull that thing off and just go and don't even have any problems. I was amazed back there. I love the graduation day. We were always picking at them. And every time we have graduation, we have singers walking, we say we're going to sing things like, "Thank God I'm Free," and you know, things like that. And we're just kidding. We don't ever do it. But this song this morning is with them graduating. I can't imagine being a teenager in this world today. It was bad enough in the late 70s. I can't imagine being a teenager with the things that they have to deal with. And of course, they're coming into an era of their life where they've got to make a lot of choices. And the most important choice is knowing who the Lord is today. And this song is for you. I know the testimonies of all of them have grown up around here, been here long enough, or been an extended part of our family growing up, Madison, forever. And so it's, know their testimony. But sticking with the Lord, I know who the Lord is. He'll get you through any situation. Pray for the choir as we sing. We're going to try to be brief this morning so they can get around to their accomplishments and reading. I'm going to tell you, some of them are just overachievers. They really, you know, there's a limit, Caitlin, to what you should have done in school. And, you know, they really ham, show off.
God, I am free. satisfy my soul, and I stand amazed at the blessings I've known, and still to this day the mercies you show make it clear to see that you love me, and you give each breath that I breathe. You color the skies with beautiful leaves. You've proven that you will provide for my needs the way you fill me, Lord. How could I ask for more? That I'm satisfied, satisfied. I've been cared for so faithfully. Oh Lord, hear my plea, may it be that you're satisfied with me. You give me grace without end, and you have forever removed all my sin, and now the maker of heaven and earth calls me friend, and from the joy that brings, oh, how my spirit sings that I'm satisfied, satisfied. I've been cared for so faithfully. Oh, that you're satisfied with me.
Bad day. Pastor, if you would come stand here, and brother, you stand here, please. And young people, if you would stand up, I'd appreciate it. And we call your names, if you'd be kind enough, come by and shake brother, Stephen's hand, and Pastor Payne's going to give you this wonderful devotional book that we're able to find. And I believe there'll be an asset to you if you'll utilize the information that's in them. And he's going to give you that devotional book and shake his hand, and then if you would turn and take a picture with Pastor Payne. Is that fair enough? It's pretty simple. We want to first recognize Miss Caitlin Kane. She's graduating with high honors from Northgate High School, gifted in the Gifted Program, the National Honor Society, the National Society of High School Scholars, Spanish Honor Society, the Beta Club. She received, yes, stay up here. She received her Nurse's Aid Award. She's attending the University of North Georgia this fall. So let's give her a hand. All right, thank you. Now you can go over there and just stand with your friends. All right. Next, we have Stephanie Kane. She's graduating with honors from Noonan High School. She is recognized as being in the French Honor Society and is attending the University of West Georgia this fall. So let's give Miss Stephanie a hand, please. Next, we have Miss Madison Davison, and she's graduating with honors from Noonan High School. She's a member of the Tri-M Musical Honor Society, the Merit Scholarship. She's receiving a Merit Scholarship from Point University. She's also going to college on a lacrosse scholarship from Point University and attending Point University to play lacrosse this fall. Let's give Miss Madison a hand. All right. And next we have Rebecca Midget. She's graduating from East Coweta High School, a member of the Tri-M Musical Honor Society. She's receiving a Hilltop Scholarship from LaGrange College and the Merit Scholarship to LaGrange College, and attending LaGrange College this fall, and will be cheerleading for the football and the basketball team there. So we're proud of Miss Rebecca. Let's give her a hand, please. And now, Miss Leah, try to contain yourself. Matthew Williams is graduating from Noonan High School. He plans to attend West Georgia Technical College and to keep his truck nice and shiny. So let's give Matthew a hand. And let me say this, that Caitlin Kane, Stephanie Kane, and Matthew Williams, they also walked here at Westside Baptist Church when they graduated kindergarten. So they've been here a while. They probably have some Westside dust on them somewhere. But let's give all these young people a great hand. Amen. Yes, now y'all remain standing, Pastor Payne. I believe that's... Yes, sir, you can sit down. Brother Stephen, if you would come. Young people, Stephen asked if he could pray for you before you sit down. So after he prays, you can just be seated.
Church, can we reach our hands forward towards these graduates and pray with... Can you pray with me as we pray over them? Father God, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for today. Lord, thank you for each and every student that is represented right here. God, I lift their lives up to you. God, I ask that you would guide them and protect them, give them wisdom and discernment as they go from this place. Lord, they're stepping into this world, God, and I ask that they would be a light for you. God, would you keep them safe? Would you be El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God in their life? God, we know that you can, and we know that you will. May they continue to follow after you. May they seek your will. God, and may they do incredible things for your kingdom to fulfill the Great Commission. God, thank you in advance for what you're going to do. Bring them back to us safely, Lord, and help them to know how much we love them. For it's in your name we pray. And the church said, amen.
Amen. Thank you, young people. God bless you. We need to keep them in prayer. You need to keep them in prayer. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, thank you. If you have your Bibles, turn to, if you don't mind, to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. I just want us to look at a couple things this morning. I want to challenge our teenagers, our graduates. They're about to step out. And, you know, as teenagers, we think we've got it all figured out. But the truth is our teenagers do not have it all figured out. Or they have it figured out, but they just have it figured out incorrectly. But life goes on, and you grow. But it's still our responsibility as ministers of the gospel, as parents, as leaders in the church, and so forth, that we try to help these young people avoid the pitfalls. And I was looking through and looking at the lives of individuals in the Bible whom were teenagers when God began to use them. And I looked, there's a lot of them, by the way, but I couldn't help but go back to Daniel. Daniel was an incredible individual. He was taken from home when he was a teenager. His country was conquered by another, and he was drawn out, and I guess you could say taken into slavery by the kings that be. But Daniel, in spite of what he had been through, he never stopped looking to the Lord. I mean, you think about it. I guess Daniel had a right to be bitter with God. I mean, if you want to look at it that way. I mean, to tell you, I mean, after all, he's at home, minding his own business, and then all of a sudden, the enemy comes in and drags him out of the house, possibly from his mother's arms, and just a tragic situation. And he could have gotten angry with God and said, well, Lord, you allowed this to happen to me, and the enemy has gone in and taken control of our country and so forth and so on. And I guess he could have gotten his nose out of joint with God. But that's not what happened. In the time of Daniel, he was a loyal servant, even to a king that, in essence, was holding him captive. So Daniel, a captive man, was serving his enemy, and yet he was doing it faithfully. And King Darius thought wonderful things about Daniel. Daniel was favored in this king's eyes. And you can read how he felt about Daniel. The indicator's there in verse 3 of this chapter. Well, Daniel was so well loved by the king that it made many of his contemporaries jealous. And so they went to the king and they said, well, king, and let me back up and say this. They knew of Daniel's dedication to the Lord. He didn't do anything wrong. They couldn't go and tell the king, hey, Daniel's doing this or Daniel's doing that. I'm sure they may have tried that early on, but it just didn't work. They couldn't find any real fault in him. So they went to the king, and as so many rich, powerful men, pride was his problem. It was his downfall. And they said, king, we've got an idea. You are so great. You are so wonderful. You are so brilliant. Now, young people, you remember this. You be careful of people that want to give you too many compliments. But man, I'm telling you, they really built him up. And they said, we've got an idea, King. We think that for 30 days that no man should be able to pray to another god or ask another man of anything except you. And man, I can just imagine this powerful, wealthy king began to swell up with pride. He thought about that thing and then agreed to it. Well, that was the trap. It had been set. Because these men knew that there was only one area of Daniel's life where he would rebel against King Darius, and this was it. They knew that he, meaning Daniel, would not allow anything to interfere with his prayer life. So we see that Daniel was a praying man, if you look in verses 10. And now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, in other words, after Daniel knew that the king had made a law that he should not pray, Daniel knew it, and he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. In other words, Daniel did what he did after the decree just like he did what he did before the decree. He did not allow the pressures or the laws of man to keep him from doing that which he was supposed to do. And in this case, and young people, in your case, I believe that is to pray. I want you to notice something. He looked toward Jerusalem. I believe that Daniel was a man that prayed, but he was a man that was praying for Jerusalem. He was praying for those he had left behind. He was praying for those that were living a horrible and demeaning life now in Jerusalem that was under the thumb of King Darius. He was praying for them. Young people, I want you to pray when you have a need. I want you to see how God will answer your prayers. He will. But I also want to encourage you and challenge you that when you go to God in prayer, you reach up to for the name of Jesus, that it's not always for yourself, but maybe you'll look out across Noonan, or you'll look out across the family, or you'll look out across the church, and you'll pray for others. Allow your Christian walk to affect others like you want your prayers to affect yourself. I don't know about you, but man, when I pray for me, I want an answer. Amen? Anybody in here pray for yourself and not want an answer? Not want a big old yes fall from heaven? Well, so pray for others like you'd pray for yourself. I want to show you something else that Daniel did that I think that you can do, teenagers. He produced a convert. That's right. He produced a convert. Look in verse 16. And the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. So remember what happened. Daniel continued to pray. The men that helped the king come up with this decree went back to the king and said, hey, king, you know, I know you really think a lot of Daniel and all, but I've got some bad news for you. King, you know that law that you made? The law that cannot be retracted? The one that you made? Well, I hate to tell you, but Daniel's been praying. And it was about that time when the king knew that he had been had. He knew that he had been tricked. He knew that this pride had gotten in his way, his own pride. So here's the king, and he's having to and reluctantly carry out the deed that his law demands. And so they brought Daniel and cast him into the lion's den. Now think about this. The king orders him into the lion's den, and the king, and then the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." All of a sudden, we've got a man. We have a man that worships idols, a man that very impressed with himself, now realizing that the only way out of this mess that he has created is through Daniel's God. You know what I found here? Daniel, by his faithfulness, not just in his prayer, pre-prayer, the things he did that caused that king to love him so much, and now the fact that he has prayed, whether it be lawful or not, whether it be popular or not, Daniel said, "I'm going to pray," and now he is paying the piper. He is going to experience a horrible death, everyone else feels. But even the king, that prideful king, said, "Daniel, I'm having to do this thing because of the law, because of my pride, because of my self-centeredness, but I am convinced that your God will deliver you." I'm just saying that Daniel, by his faithfulness, created a convert. And believe it or not, just if you'll be faithful, you don't have to put a big C or stamp Christian on your forehead. If you'll just be faithful, if you'll walk it instead of talk it, I'm telling you, you'll have people converted to Christ because of your faithfulness. Well, so he produced a convert. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And I want to tell you something else. Daniel produced. He produced a preacher in all this. You say, "Well, I've read this story and I've never really seen that. Are you not taking some artistic liberties?" And I'm telling you, no. Let's go with me, if you would, to verse 25. After, here we are. After he was taken up, this is what King Darius had to say. After he was not harmed, after the night in the den of the lions, this is what the king had to say. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel." Now listen to the message. For he, speaking of God of Daniel, "He is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He who, the God of Daniel, delivereth, he rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." All of a sudden, we've got this idol worshiper, this prideful man. He not only becomes a convert, but he becomes a preacher, young people, because of Daniel's consistent faithfulness unto the Lord. I tell you what, he not only prayed, he not only produced a convert, he not only produced a preacher, but get this, And we find in verse 23 that he received protection. Look, then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take up Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. You're about to go into a secular world, possibly a secular college, and there you're going to have the secular professors and teachers that are going to use God's name in vain in front of you and try to throw doubt on your faith and doubt what you believe and try to confuse or muddy the waters of teaching and doctrine that you have received over your years in church. But you don't forget this. Daniel believed in his God and he received protection. And I'm telling you, young people, if you'll just stand firm, believe in your God, be faithful, you will receive his protection in your time of need. You may be cussed. You might get spit on. Your professor may hate your guts. But you believe in God. You believe in Jesus Christ. You don't let those bunch of lost clowns shake your faith. Because this faith you have is the only anchor this world could possibly know that will lead them unto salvation. So Daniel prayed. Daniel, by his faithfulness, produced a convert. Daniel, because of his consistency, produced a preacher. He was found in some favor in the eyes of God and was protected. But guess what else happened to Daniel? Daniel prospered. He prospered. Look what happened in verse 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. In other words, not only did Daniel prosper with that king, but also the next. When God prospers you, God prospers you correctly. And it doesn't matter who your pastor is, who your president is, who your teacher or professors are, or who your parents are. I'm telling you, young people, if you will remain faithful to the Lord, he will prosper you. I like what the Bible talks about in the way of our purposes. Our purposes. In verse 17, and the stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of this, of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. The king sealed it with his own seal and with the seal or signet of his lords. I believe that when the stone was laid on the lion's den and Daniel was inside, and the king sealed it, and then the lords, those little guys, his accusers, Daniel's accusers, the troublemakers, man, they began to put seals all over this thing as well because they thought they had Daniel. Their purpose was to kill Daniel. Their purpose was to humiliate Daniel and his God. That was their purpose. I want to tell you, young people, the purpose of this world many times is to do just that, is to hurt you, is to embarrass you, and also the God you believe in, the Lord Jesus Christ. That was their purpose. But what was God's purpose in this? God's purpose was to be seen as almighty and powerful. God's purpose was that he would be glorified in a land full of little idols. So it doesn't matter what the purpose of this world is. You just be faithful. You allow God's purpose for your life to unfold. The purpose of this world could be to destroy you. The purpose of God is to make you. That's good stuff right there, sports fans. So be faithful and pray. I want to tell you something else. If you notice, all my little words started with P. Pray, produce convert, produce a preacher. You see how I did all that? I'm going to start something that doesn't start with P. T. Young people, now, not up the road, tithe. Don't do what some of the robbers of God behind you, some of the adults, are doing. That's right. You know, it's pretty bad when some of our adults can be gone one Sunday after the next and it doesn't affect the offerings one red cent. You make sure that when you're gone, you're on vacation, you make sure that the offerings drop. You be faithful. You tithe. I guess I could put a P on that too. Pay your tithes. Amen. Hey, I'm serious, young people. You want God's blessings on you? You pray for yourself, you pray for others, and you give God. You pay your tithes. You know, we all have problems. We all have issues. But people that don't tithe are constantly in the ditch because God cannot bless them like he wants to. And I'm telling you, pay your tithes. Pray. Produce a convert. Produce a preacher. Receive protection and prosper in the Lord. I've been talking to the teenagers, but this biblical standard, this biblical advice, these biblical doctrines are for you, adults. Are you paying your tithe? If you're gone this week or next week, does it even affect the offering? Are you praying? Are you so busy praying for yourself you aren't opening the windows up to Jerusalem praying for others? Hey, adults, are you producing converts? Are you producing possibly a preacher? Are you receiving the protection that God wants to give you if you'll just live a faithful life unto him? Is he prospering you like he wants to prosper you? Pray. Pay. Produce. Receive protection and prosper. That's the kind of God we serve. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Obviously, this message is pointed at our graduates because we want them to be prepared to face this world. But come on, adults, can you not be honest with yourself right now? Forget about the young people over in the robes over here. Let's look at our own hearts. And where are we falling short? Where are we not faithful? Where can we apply this message to our lives? You can't tell me for a moment that in an auditorium with as many people as we have in here this morning, that this message wasn't meant for somebody. And I don't believe it was meant for one or two. I believe God meant this message for a number of our congregants. What are you going to do with it? I've done my job. What happens now is between you and the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's stand.